Time for Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia, Southern Alberta's largest Kia dealer. Eastside Kia clearing out remaining 2013s to make room for new inventory like the 2013 Kia Sorento, a cash price of $29,445 or $182 biweekly, zero down. Eastside Kia, Barlow and 23rd, and at eastsidekia.ca. We're focused, obviously, on hockey. Steve, good to talk to you this morning, but I want to start in Vancouver, where Warner was just mentioning in the commercial break as we were coming in. He's like, how many good coaches are out there this offseason? You got Lindy Ruff, you might have Dave Tippett, and we know now for sure with Vancouver firing Alain Vigneault that he is available for someone.
Yeah, not bad. Actually, I want to hear Red's theory about why there's no one showing up in Saskatoon, but we'll get to that because I've been intrigued by that, watching it from afar.
I've got the answer.
You got the answer?
Well, go ahead. We're right there.
Well, the issue is, obviously, you lose out four straight in the first round. You don't really intrigue your fan base. Then the weather turns nice, finally, after about 6 months of minus 50 in Saskatoon. People want to go to the lake. And most importantly, they've done a terrible job of promoting it and including the fan base in it. They've done the ownership and the management. I don't know how many people have called me and said, they don't have a clue what they're doing. They've got no organization behind it. They're just throwing balls up in the air. Things are letting it drop. And it's just been, from a lot of people I've heard, poorly, poorly, poorly run.
Wow. Because, you know, I understand that, you know, that you get swept in the first round of the playoffs a month and a half ago, and that would dull some of the enthusiasm. But I would have thought, honestly, would have thought a lot of those tickets would have been bought before that. That it's an event, that it's the Memorial Cup. You know your team's going to be in it, and then, you know, off the top they play. I mean, you know, maybe a little better than people thought they were going to, and that it would have built a little bit. That's the, again, to me, I understand all those factors. You know, summertime and
well, they to the point, Stephen, where they I think they've jaded the fan base to the point where the people. It's not just I don't feel like going. They're making a point of not going.
Wow. Well, that is always in any sport or any situation, you know, when people kind of become actively hostile to the organizers or the ownership, you got a problem.
They've obviously, because I was the same. I didn't know how deep it went, but I've heard, and obviously I've got lots of ties back there. Anyone I talk to back there says the same thing. So.
Well, no, it's shocking to watch, because like when you have the Memorial Cup in Mississauga and people don't show up, you know, I understand that because junior hockey around Toronto has been a wasteland for as long as I can remember almost. But, you know, I think for a lot of us sitting there saying, well, geez, Saskatchewan junior hockey, Memorial Cup, this, you know, surely this is going to work. And it is, you know, it has been very weird looking on and seeing all of those empty seats, not just for games not involving the Blades, but for games when the home team's playing. It's just, yeah, but thanks for the explanation. I guess that's, you know, that's the best one I've heard so far.
Meanwhile, an hour 10 to the north, Brent Sutter stews, knowing that his Red Deer bid lost out to this one.
Yeah, would they have shown up there?
I think so.
I'm thinking they probably would have.
Haven't held the event since, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
74.
Put in new suites, did a bunch of renos to the building, and still didn't get it. Nonetheless, we move on. Alain Vigneault out in Vancouver, I guess. Thoughts on the firing and where the Canucks go from here?
Well, you know, I'm with a lot of people on this one. You know, Alain Vigneault, you can criticize. You can find things to criticize about what Alain Vigneault did this season and last season. You could point to specific stuff, but you know the failure there. I agree with what Mark Spector wrote on Sportsnet this morning what a lot of people I assume are writing in Vancouver today, which is you know that Vigneault to a large degree is a scapegoat here, and that Mike Gillis is the guy that painted them into this corner. And I think that's true. Now I'm not sure how you get yourself out of that corner if you're Mike Gillis, and I'm not sure about blowing up the general manager, because that gets you into a whole other series of, you know, a whole other level of rebuild with the organization. But, you know, the bottom line is this is a team, and this predates Gillis, but this is a team that was built around the Sedins and Roberto Luongo. And that was the core, and they've added a bunch of different pieces, and that core and that team, it would appear, is not good enough to win a Stanley Cup. So how do you get out? You know, how do you get yourself out from under that? Well, Mike Gillis started that process in theory by saying, "I'm going to deal Roberto Luongo," and with great confidence about his ability to do that. And Roberto Luongo is still in the uniform, and I'm still not sure how they're going to deal him. And the collective agreement has made it more difficult in the interim. You know, and that thing I think that hung over the team that cloud hung over the team all season long. You know, whether Luongo was playing when he played, and he played relatively well, or when he was not playing, it was kind of like, well, this other great, you know, franchise shaping move is going to take place imminently, and you know, I think everybody, including the players to some degree, were sitting back waiting for it to happen. So, I think Alan Vigneault is a really good coach. I think he's done, by and large, done a very good job in Vancouver and almost got him there. People get fired in these circumstances. People are scapegoated. It's not always the right guy. But watching that press conference yesterday when, you know, Mike Gillis did the, you know, that whole Vancouver paranoid, everybody's against this thing, is getting a bit rich at this stage, I think, too.
It's interesting that, and I don't know how often it happens, and I know it's happened in, you know, in history, where you win a division title but get fired in the off season because of how things went in the playoffs. He won six of them in his 7 years, two President's Trophy, the Cup Final, a Jack Adams, all of this. Signed a 2-year extension a year ago, I believe, to the day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So are they better today just to be minus Alain Vigneault? And I guess secondarily, we've talked about it a little bit this morning already. Mike Gillis, if nothing else, I think views himself as a outside-of-the-box and forward thinker. The traditional move would be, hey, Lindy Ruff, terrific coach. Let's get him in here. I can't help but wonder if that's certainly not the way Mike Gillis, the forward thinker, goes here.
Well, you would think that they don't want to. They're, you know, you're on the clock here, right? So, you know, maybe you do a, you know, a bold. I, you know, again, a lot of people in Toronto are talking about Dallas Eakin,
mm-hmm.
and who has done a fantastic job with the Marlies, the Leafs AHL team, and has done a great job in player development with some young players there. Some of the, if you looked at the kind of success with the Leafs this year, you know, a lot of people will point to the development of some of their players in the AHL and what a great job Eakins has done. And had the Randy Carlyle thing not happened when it did, Eakins would have been the obvious successor in Toronto. Is that outside the box? Probably not. You know, really, really good AHL coaches tend to get jobs in the NHL at some point. And, you know, this is a guy who is,
but would it,
this year's model, but
would it not be outside when potentially guys like Dave Tippett and Lindy Ruff are available? Would it not kind of buck that trend? Because Vancouver, I know they're moving in a different direction, but would they not see themselves with the Sedins, with Corey Schneider, with Kessler as a threat to win?
Well, you'd have to. I think, you know, if you're not a threat to win, if you don't believe you are a threat to win with that core, this is a problem for Mike Gillis, because even if he does believe that, what's he going to do? You know, how do you take that apart in this world? How do you take apart the Sedins? You know, I think the Sedins will play in Vancouver till, you know, they're in a wheelchair, right? They're till they're in a rocking chair, because you can't. I don't know that there's a way to unpick that. Until proven otherwise, I'm not sure there's a way to unpick the Roberto Luongo situation. It's not simple saying, well, let's get those guys out of town and bring in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just wheel contracts, and you especially can't wheel contracts of guys who come as a pair.
Yeah, it's a lot of cap space.
It's a ton of cap space. It changes. They're stuck. So I think Lindy Ruff's a great coach. I think Tippett has done an unbelievable job at times as well. But you know, you've got a very specific culture in that organization. You have a very specific set of players. It's not like you can bring a coach in and say, you remake this team. You know, you're bringing in a guy and saying, here's your team. And is a guy like Eakins, who's going to be fresh to the league and fresh to the NHL and grateful for the opportunity, a better fit? Or is a guy like Ruff, whose, you know, success was all built, you know, his success, which also fell short of a Stanley Cup, but which all came with one organization, very specific set of circumstances in Buffalo, kind of always kind of playing the plucky underdog role, or almost always playing the plucky underdog role, often underfunded in those years, but, you know, the pre-cap years. That's a tough call. I think the toughest thing for a coach in a lot of cases is to come into a team that's already set and to try and make it your own. I think that's an awfully hard thing, but that's basically what we're talking about here.
Well, and that was kind of what I was going to ask next was, does Lindy Ruff or Dave Tippett look at it and go, no, I don't want to inherit that? And whereas the Dallas Eakins goes, hey, give me my shot. I just want a chance.
Yeah, Dallas Eakins would go anywhere right now, I would think, to get a shot at the NHL. You know, it's his moment. It's obviously not going to happen for him in Toronto. So, I'd be shocked if he's not a coach somewhere at some point next year. And, you know, the other guys, you know, I guess you'd be tempted, wouldn't you? You'd be tempted by the talent level in Vancouver, because there's no question it's there. regular season success, got to the finals, you know, got almost to the cup. A veteran coach might be tempted to go in there and say, you know, I could tweak this thing, and I could get more out of these guys. And it's weird. It's a good, you know, you're inheriting a good to very good to maybe excellent hockey team, but with all kinds of other issues and a ton of pressure. It's just in a market where people are just starting to turn sour about the team that they intensely, passionately care about. Not an easy situation, but I guarantee you, Dallas Eakins would pay for his own plane ticket to get there.
Yeah, totally. The Toronto Blue Jays, Jose Bautista, 4-for-4, couple home runs, basically wins the game. It's fairly obvious that right now is the time to trade him.
I'll tell you, when he got caught, tagged up on a fly ball and got thrown out at second base last night before the heroics, and then he stole a base when he was out by 6 feet, and the guy dropped the ball at second base. There were a couple times last night when I was thinking, still, trade this guy. Or what's wrong with, you know, where's his focus? It was more like the guy who got picked off second base at Yankee Stadium. But, yeah, you can't argue with what he did last night. They needed somebody. That was a huge game for them, taking 2 out of 3. First time they've beaten Tampa in a series in, what, 4 years or something like that? So, you know, they've got Baltimore coming in now, and you start trying to, the way you get back to 500 is win 2 or 3, win 3 or 4. You know, it's not necessarily win 10 in a row. Still some weird kind of focus issues with that team, and some guys who are not doing the job. But, that's what Bautista's supposed to be, right? He's supposed to be your best player, your clutch player. I wonder, you know, again, I don't know if we talked about this when I did throw out the option of getting rid of him the other day, but, you know, he is a strong presence in that room, maybe a stronger presence than the manager. You know, the manager inherited a guy who's almost, you know, who's really, really dominant. So he's the leader for better or worse sometimes. And, I wonder about the kind of dynamic. You know, if you win a ton of games, it doesn't matter. You know, you can have any number of jerks in a room, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying he's a jerk, but he's a strong guy. He's an intelligent guy. And ownership and management have kind of catered to him, during this rebuild, saying, don't worry, we'll surround you with players. It's, you know, it's almost, you know, he has a status unlike any player I can think of in sports almost, where he's, you know, it's almost like they consult him. And, you know, I wonder about that dynamic if things don't, you know, it's a bright, happy day, this happy morning, but how that dynamic works if things don't get and continue to get better as this season goes on.
Great stuff as always, Steve. Have a fine weekend. We'll do it on, Tuesday, right? Monday?
Tuesday, indeed.
Yeah, all right. Look forward to it. Thanks,
all righty, guys.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia, Southern Alberta's largest Kia dealer. Eastside Kia, clearing out remaining 2013s to make room for new inventory, like the 2013 Kia Sorento. It's a cash price of $29,445 or $182 biweekly with zero down. Eastside Kia, Barlow and 23rd, and at eastsidekia.ca.